Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Yeah! Yeah, that is a big surprise. I think I said earlier in the week there was zero chance
no
that
chance.
Gronkowski, no chance.
Because
the last time I saw him, he was all slimmed down. He didn't look like he was ready to play football, and I handicapped it at 0%. Yet another example of me being wrong.
But here's the amazing thing, Mace. What is my guilty pleasure that I watch every night that I should be embarrassed to admit, but I'm not?
The Andy Cohen extravaganza.
Yes, the Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen. And last night, just happened to be, what he does is he brings in two people, and he tries to ask them, like, weird personal questions.
Sure.
Last night was Sherry O'Terry, remember her from Saturday Night Live?
Yep.
And Gronk.
Yep.
And he asked Gronk early in the show, hey, there's this rumor that you might, like, come out of retirement so you can play with Tom Brady. And Gronk was like...
we've got the response.
Okay, this is Gronk's response. And he obviously knew, but he didn't let the cat out of the bag. This was last night live on Watch What Happens Live on Bravo.
And I want to start with the present day. People are bowled over by some rumors of late that you could be brought out of retirement and reunite with Tom Brady on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Are there any real conversations happening there around that?
And you want to know what's so great, man? The day that I retired, within 24 hours, there was already rumors that I was coming out of retirement. I'm feeling good right now. I'm happy where I'm at. And you just never know, man.
You never know.
Well, apparently,
he said.
You did know.
Yeah. He didn't say, no, I'm happy. I'm not coming out of retirement. He said, you never know. So he left the door open even last night with Andy Cohen, who has become one of the more interesting interviewers there are. People will say stuff to him that they don't say to anybody else.
Well, that's because he'll ask them anything. I mean, there are questions that we would never ask somebody that he'll just, you know, he's got a little Howard Stern in him that way.
Yeah.
Like when he had Shaq on his show,
yep.
He said, how big is your blank?
Right.
That's like one of the first things he asked him.
Yeah.
And Shaq answered it. You know, he gets
what?
People to answer it. He did. I mean, if you Google how big is your blank, but don't write blank, Shaq answered it.
Yeah.
That's what they do on that show.
That's what you can get away with when you're Andy Cohen.
On cable late at night.
And by the way, you know, I want to say about Andy Cohen, you know, he invented the entire network. The whole network is his. He invented the Housewives. He invented all that stuff. Vanderpump Rules, those are all like his brainchild. Bravo was just an offbeat channel that nobody watched until Andy Cohen got a hold of it.
Right. And now he's, you know, basically programming the whole thing. And he's got his own channel on Sirius.
Yes. And so the big news is Tom Brady, and actually what Josina Anderson said during the intro does make sense. In a year where we might not have a long training camp, we might have a shortened NFL season, it helps for Tom Brady to have a security blanket, a guy that he's played with over the course of the years and understands his game really well, who runs the routes he knows. To me, it does make an awful lot of sense. And from Gronk's perspective, he may be looking at it saying, hey, this may not be a full season. I may not have to make a 16-game commitment in order to play with Tom Brady and get a chance to go to the playoffs again.
Yeah, Gronk hasn't played all 16 games since 2011, I read.
Right.
But you know, it doesn't matter if you have him, as you saw, you went to the Super Bowl where he came up with those big plays against the Rams at the end. He just needs to be, by the way, I always say, follow the money. If you want to know really what a move means or a trade means or anything else, the second this was announced, the Buccaneers went from 16-1 to win the Super Bowl to 12-1. Just one guy moved them, moved their odds. What is that, 25%?
Yep.
So they, you know, Vegas thinks this is a big deal, and you know, he's in a division where they're going to need to score. I mean, he's in a division with the Saints and the Falcons, and I think it's exciting. And now we just have to hope that we get football. And you and I were kicking this around earlier today. You know, football is going to be probably the hardest needle to thread in terms of if they bring it back with no fans. And here's what I mean. Okay, so basketball, you could really do, you know, like Dr. Fauci talked about baseball, and we talked about the Arizona bubble, how all those stadiums are, you know, within 10 or 20 miles of each other down there in Arizona.
Yep.
Basketball, you could, you know, you and I have been to Summer League where they have two games going on all the time. You could just start in the morning and play through the day and keep everybody in the bubble. Football would be harder because you would need to have to find 8 to 10 stadiums that were relatively close to each other. And I thought about like, would high school football stadiums work, or would you not be able to get your TV trucks and your TV cameras into the high school stadium?
See, I was thinking about somewhere like the
Ohio, where you guys are from. Ohio has a lot of big high school stadiums, right?
Yeah, Ohio does have big high school. I was thinking of Texas, Oklahoma, Nebraska, because you've got stadiums like. You got a big stadium in Lincoln. You got a big stadium in Iowa. You got a big stadium at Kansas State.
Okay, but again, let's kind
of
cross these. Let's kind of tackle these as you bring them up. If Iowa and Nebraska are too far away from each other to do Dr. Fauci's bubble. Like, matter of fact, Funch, find that comment from Dr. Fauci from last week where he's talking about how you could bring baseball back. And let me know when you find it, because I know I snuck up on you on it. But you already have it?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay,
yeah.
So here's Dr. Fauci talking about how you could play baseball.
There's a way of doing that. Nobody comes to the stadium. Put them in big hotels, you know, wherever you want to play. Keep them very well surveilled, namely a surveillance, but have them tested like every week and make sure they don't wind up infecting each other or their family, and just let them play the season out. I mean, people say, well, you know, you can't play without spectators. Well, I think you probably get enough buy-in from people who are dying to see a baseball game, particularly me. I'm living in Washington. We have the world champion Washington Nationals. You know, I want to see them play again.
So his idea, Mace, is put them in big hotels, have the stadium nearby, and just keep them in that small geographic area. If you're talking about moving somebody from Iowa to Nebraska, it probably doesn't work. But, like, for example, I think California is going to be one of the last states to restart. We seem, our governor seems to be on the conservative end. But we could theoretically think about Los Angeles. Like, you could, if the new stadium was ready, you could use the SoFi Stadium, the Coliseum,
you could use
StubHub,
you could use,
or whatever they call that thing now.
Yeah, Dignity Health. You could use the Bank of California Stadium.
Right. Now we're talking. Now we've got four stadiums within a, what would you say, 15-mile radius?
Yep.
I think once we start getting out of the 15-mile radius, we get into a little trouble. Now, could they play, for example, Loyola High, which is right next to Staples Center, has a really good football program. Could you, and keep in mind, you're only talking about made-for-TV events. So you don't have to worry about fans. You could take stands out. You could put cameras. But you've got to be able to put multiple cameras. They've got to be high enough up to shoot the game. And you got to get your trucks in there. I don't know if you could do it in a high school stadium. You know, Mace, you and I know so many guys that produce sporting events. If we get closer to this and it appears like we're not going to have fans, we could bring on guys like our old friend Jeff Proctor I was talking to today.
Yeah,
owns his own production company. He could answer questions like this.
Well, AJ could absolutely do it.
Could you? My friend Jared could do it. Anybody who's been in live event production could tell us, could you make a high school stadium good enough to televise an NFL game? Because keep in mind, you don't have to worry about how many fans it holds. Fans aren't coming.
Right.
But think about this, Mace. You have to socially distance some people, I would think, or is once you're approved to go in the stadium, is social distancing out the window? Because you got guys tackling each
right.
other.
Right, and the other quality, John, is are the fields going to be up to the standards of the NFL? In other words,
right.
there
good,
are a lot of high
point.
School stadiums, but are they going to be of the quality that NFL
yeah, a lot
players
of them,
would expect?
You'd be surprised. A lot yeah. of, like, I don't know what they have at Loyola, but my guess is they probably have field turf, which
yeah.
is what they have at, like, most Pac-12 schools.
Sure,
they're not
sure.
playing on natural grass, but... It football would be, I think, of all the sports we're talking about getting back, like golf. Golf's coming
easy.
Back first because it's very easy to socially distance the golfers.
Yes, so I think it's June the 11th is the first PGA
right.
event since the crisis.
Well, and if you want to take a step further, we were talking yesterday about how golf's coming back in Southern California.
Yeah.
I know you've kind of changed your opinion on this, but 48% of the golf courses in America are open.
Right.
48%. So they're figuring out a way to do it.
You know what swung me, by the way, on golf is that my mom actually lives on a golf course and has a patio that's right there where the golfers
are.
Well,
it's not a ridiculous concern by you. If
yeah.
I hit my golf ball into your mom's patio and I
you've got to go up and get it.
No, I don't. I don't.
That's the thing. You can't go up and get
yeah,
it. But if somebody does.
You brought this up a week and a half ago. It's not can you theoretically do it. It's once you give the green light, will everyone play by the rules?
Yes.
So, for example, I know the guys I play with, and I know we'll all play by the rules. But somebody told me a story that when the courses weren't being guarded by security, when
yep.
guys were just walking on and playing, there was a fist fight between two guys who weren't even members at the course they snuck onto because they were hitting into each other. They're getting too close.
Right.
So there, everything goes out the window. So you have to ask yourself, can the number one question has to be, can you medically control the environment? And if the answer is no, then you should probably think twice about doing it. And your concern about your mom's patio is, believe it or not, not ridiculous.
Yeah.
If everybody, you figure... If you, me, Funches, and Lindsay go play golf, somebody's hitting it into the patio at
it's
one
me.
Point
it's,
during 18
by the way,
holes.
It's me. I'm the one. I'm the one that cannot control
and
a golf.
And one of us has
life.
To say to you, well,
yep.
you can't even go after that ball. Yeah,
yeah,
that ball's gone.
Yeah,
all right?
you cannot go up there.
That,
yeah, you know, it's funny. I was talking to Juan today, and the reality is if I didn't have a 79-year-old mom, my view of the whole thing would be different. You know what I'm saying? It's like when you view it through that prism, oh, my God, my mom's in that target age, it changes the way you feel about the entire crisis. It's very much, I mean, I'm on my phone every day to my mom saying, do not leave the house, do not leave the house under no circumstances, leave the house and go to a store or go to a pharmacy or any of those things. It's been my number one concern through this entire thing is my mom and my not stepdad, Leo. So that just changes your view of things. If you've got parents who are older. It changes your view of things. If you've got somebody in your family who's got a pre-exist, changes your view of things. I have been, and I'm going to continue to err on the cautious side of things.
Well, in California, our governor is on the more protective side.
Yes.
There are other states that are going to go first. And there was an announcement today, Mace, that, you know, we talked to Dan Straley last week, the baseball player, the American baseball player who's
yeah,
playing in South Korea.
Yeah, what's going on over there?
May 4th. They're starting the season May 4th. So we're going to have some test cases. For example, the golf course thing. And yesterday, Ventura County and Riverside County announced that they're going to let residents play golf. The golf course thing has been going on in other places for the past 2-3 weeks, and it's been going fine. In California, we're always going to be, don't you get the feeling we're going to be last to the party on a lot of things? We're going to be last to open the golf courses, last to open the movie theaters, last to open the restaurants. There's going to be test cases, not only in the United States, but in the case of sports. We're going to have this South Korean baseball league. We're going to have Chinese basketball. We're going to have some data that we can look at and say, okay, that's how we can do it. And if it blows up and doesn't go well, it'll probably set us back. But that's why you got to pay attention to a kind of global economy here and see how they get back on their feet. Because it, we're what are we, 3-4 months behind them with the virus?
Yeah, roughly? And they generally got it rounded up quicker than we did, too. They generally got it cleaned up before.
And like Dan Straley was talking about, they're more militant. They're not a free society over there, so they're more militant about keeping people home. You know,
well, just to be clear, South Korea is a democracy.
Right. But he said that if you so much as left your, you know, they were tracking phones, and if you so much left, they came and got you. You know, we're not doing that here. We're just imploring people
to
stay home.
We're not doing that yet. They're going to start doing that here.
But we're just, our plan of attack has been beg people to stay home. And
correct.
For the most part,
and everybody's
it's
done a great job. Everybody's done a great
not
job.
Not everybody.
Well,
like,
I mean, we've done a great job in
Florida
California.
Florida hasn't.
Yeah, we've done a great job in California. We've done a great job in California. All right, so what do we got here? We got a bunch of stuff. In fact, God, do we want to go down a depressing road? Bob Costas is really depressing.
Why is he? What, is he saying there's not going to be any sports?
Yeah, we'll play a Bob Costas clip.
That's okay. I mean, you know what, Mace? Just because you and I are optimistic doesn't mean that there isn't room for he. Might, Bob Costas might be right. We just don't agree with him. You know,
okay.
So, I don't mind playing anybody who thinks that there's not going to be sports, because I think it's a valid, you know, Clinton Yates was on here last week saying there isn't going to be sports. Bill Plachke has already declared sports in L.A. dead.
Sports in L.A. is dead, according to, by the way, we've never brought Bill Plachke on. Does Bill Plachke work for our competition or something?
No, he works on Around the Horn. He works for us.
We should bring Bill Plachke on so we can berate him live.
Well, or just rather than berate him, we will have a discussion over what
I'm going to say. Yeah, I'm sure he's really going to say yes to that now.
No, Bill will not duck us. He always faces the music. So
yeah, Bill, we will be. I will berate you live on all that negativity
he might be
you're
right.
putting out into the world. All right, on voicemail today, I put this out here. You know, John, I used to work in music radio, and the beauty of music radio is you'd have these little jingles, like we would have 93Q, WRQN, where the hits always happen, stuff like that.
Yep.
So I have this idea that our listeners on voicemail can leave us jingles that we might be able to use on the show.
Why
and
not?
Come back from commercial breaks with.
Why not? If nothing else, even the failures will be funny.
The failures will be great. The successes will be played in hot rotation. 530 ESPN 710. What's that?
Maybe you can get Jason Alexander to sing a joke.
Oh, stop picking on Jason Alexander.
Well, I'm sure you'd want to use it. You think he's one of the great musicians of our time.
I'm in a New York state of mind.
You are a better singer than he is.
377-6710, 530-377-6710, if you've got a hot jingle that we can use on the show. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN. All positive. Except for Bob Costas. All positive today on the show. This portion of the show brought to you by Lyman Healthcare, changing healthcare one person at a time. And it is time for our NBA segment with Ramona Shelburne, sponsored by First Five. Your baby's brain doesn't require fancy toys or videos. Talking, reading, and singing are the tools you need. Talk, read, sing. It changes everything. To learn more, visit firstfivecalifornia.com. Momo, how are you?
I'm good, guys. Yeah, no, I'm in an all positive mood too. It's like lovely out today. It's bright and sunny. I already went for a walk. Might go swimming later today.
Do you have a pool at your house?
I have a pool. Yeah.
Wow.
This is like I go as often as I can, even
High
when
roller.
It's cold. Yeah. Well, listen, I'm telling you, like, my world is small these days, guys. Right? Very small. And it's kind of, I'm settling into it, but like, you know, on a day when it's nice and beautiful outside and you can actually go for a swim, like that's a big day, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we finally got to see the first two episodes of The Last Dance. You've seen the whole thing.
No, sir, eight. I haven't seen 9 and 10 yet.
Oh, okay. You've not seen the last two.
Right.
So what we got to see the other night. It is just it's amazing, an unbelievable document about an incredible period in NBA history.
Well, I mean, could you tell how excited I was last week when I was just like, you guys, I've been binge watching this show. It's so good. We have to remember when I came on last week, I was so fired up just to, because it gets better, too. I'll tell you this. This week is all Dennis Rodman in episode 3 and Phil Jackson in episode 4. And it's just great. And then wait till they get to episode 5 where there's a lot of Kobe Bryant, where he talks about Republicans buy Nikes, too. We talk, and then, you know, episode 6 talks about him when his dad was murdered and he quit basketball and goes back to baseball. I mean, it just gets better and better.
By the way, the Rodman episode is going to be episode 3.
Yeah, episode 3.
Isn't it weird that Kim Jong-un apparently is in some sort of medical situation that is pretty grave? Like, Dennis Rodman spent so much time with Kim Jong-un in some weird circumstances over the year, and Kim Jong-un is not going to be able to watch episode 3 of The Last Dance.
Well, I bet he watched the Rodman 30 for 30 that we had earlier.
You're right.
This year.
He probably did. Yes. He did get to see that.
I'll tell you this, though. I think I might have said this to you last week, too. This series is really making everyone who probably only knows Phil Jackson is like the guy who tried to fix the Knicks, and you know, the comment about the posse with LeBron, right? Like, if you're from a younger generation that didn't see Phil as either head coach of the Lakers winning 5 rings or head coach of the Bulls winning 6 rings, I'm really glad that the younger generation now is getting to see what Phil Jackson really was as a coach, because you're going to see a lot more of it over the course of this.
Ramona, Michael has come out and said that after people watch this whole thing, they're going to think less of him. It does not make him look good. Do you agree with that?
No, I think that they will. I actually think they'll like him more because I think he has to actually thank Kobe Bryant for this. But like, Kobe made being the way Jordan is, he made it cool, right? Like, Kobe made being ruthless and, you know, the hardest working guy out there and mean to your teammates just because you're trying to get the best out of them. Kobe made that like something to aspire to. And I think Michael maybe doesn't understand that, like, Kobe's primed the wheel for him here, right? Like, this is, you're going to see 10 episodes of this, and there are definitely parts where, like, you know, Michael's mean. I mean, you saw them in episode 2 where he was, you know, they
he was going at Kukoc, I think, at one
point. Yeah, and Tony Kukoc, and also Jerry Krause. And it's just some of the comments he makes are kind of just mean. But I think that, like, I think you're going to see the totality of him. I mean, wasn't that cool seeing him as, like, young Jordan and, you know, how he went back to North Carolina?
He almost looks like a different guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he's so young. He looks like a different person.
Totally. And, like, you know, seeing him when he's, you know, in North Carolina, I thought that was so cute after, you know, he gets hurt in his second year. He goes back to North Carolina and he's just, like, working out with the college guys and training in the pool and stuff. Remember that? Like, that was, you know, that made me appreciate him. And, you know, I did have to laugh a little bit when, you know, they asked him about the traveling cocaine circus.
Yes.
You know, like how the team was when he first got
apparently
there.
John says they're making T-shirts, traveling cocaine circus.
Yeah,
now.
You could have bought them, Ramona. By the time the second episode ended, they already had online traveling cocaine circus.
So random. Look,
you know, but here's Mason and I were talking about this yesterday. Mason says that it would, you know, players would never even consider playing. I actually think differently a little bit. I think that after that thing aired, that all these load management guys look weak now.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you on that. And like, that's what we've been talking about all year with, like, you know, LeBron and Anthony Davis. Like, they're kind of from that school of, like, you play. Like, if you can play, you should play. Right. And like, you know, LeBron feels like he gets better the more he plays, like the more minutes he plays, the stronger he gets. Whereas I think those in the load management, you know, on that train, say you wear down, you have more injuries. I think this is going to actually be a major topic of discussion if and when we get back, you know, if the season starts coming back, because there were a lot of injuries after the lockout. Remember how many guys tore their Achilles after the lockout?
Right, right.
Because they didn't have a full training camp and a full time to really get themselves healthy and get themselves built up. I mean, you saw that. You're going to see it. Okay, I've watched eight, so I forget what episode this is, but when Jordan came back from baseball, he didn't have a lot of time to get healthy, right? He didn't have a time to get strong, and he falls apart in the playoffs because he doesn't have, you know, he just gets tired. You know, remember they played the Orlando Magic and Penny Hardaway and Nick Anderson strips the ball from him. Remember that series, and they lose there. That's what happens when a player of that caliber doesn't have a full, you know, season or training camp to ramp up to the kind of physical condition they need to be in. And I think we're going to have that very real discussion, you know, if the NBA tries to get back and salvage this season.
At the same time, that second season, the one in which they went, took on Boston in the first round, and he went nuts in games one and two.
Amazing.
That season, when he came back from that injury, there's a moment where Jerry Reinsdorf talks about the fact that there was a 1 in 10 chance that Michael Jordan could have an injury that would end his career. And still, he ended up convincing them to play 7 minutes per half. That would never happen today if there was a 1 in 10 chance of a career-ending injury.
But, you know, Jordan didn't let him. You know, Jordan would, he basically said, you know, he begged him to play and they listened to him.
I think we lost Momo there for a sec.
Yeah, maybe. Oh, well, we got to take a break anyway. We'll get her back.
Okay.
And I also want to ask you, did you see the new Charger uniforms?
No, somebody tweeted me about
it. Yeah, take a look at them during the break and I'll ask you about them when we come
back. Okay, cool. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, 710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland. What is going on? Momo is here. Momo just dropped out there all of a sudden. Mom made an appearance. Is that what happened?
Yeah, she just walked by, and she was cleaning, and I said, okay, I'm on the radio, so I'll step outside. And I guess when I walked outside, I must have lost the Wi-Fi or something.
Got it.
Sorry about that. But my mom is very excited that she's famous now.
She's a star.
She is famous.
She's a budding star.
Ramona, I asked Mason to take a look during the break. I hope you've seen them. Have you seen the new Chargers uniforms?
Yeah, they're awesome.
I think the Chargers have the best uniforms in the NFL, and I don't even know who's second. The Raiders have that classic silver and black, which looks great. Kind of like the Cowboys all whites look great.
Yeah.
But these Charger uniforms with the, you know, they have six different combinations. And the Powder Blues are going to be their home, and their all-whites are going to be on the road.
Well, the Powder Blues have always been the best. Those have always been the most distinctive Charger uniforms.
But they've got lightning bolts down the sides of the pants, and they've got all these different, and they just look, if you haven't seen them, they announced them at 6 o'clock this morning, and they look absolutely fantastic.
They look good.
It's you know, and the Rams are gonna debut theirs next week.
Is that a fact? Are they gonna debut theirs next week?
That's what they've been saying, that they were, you know, they're the last team that is changing their uniform that hasn't released them. Everybody else has released them, so we expect that we're gonna see the Rams next week. Of all the you have to announce if you're changing your uniforms. The Rams and the Chargers both did.
Okay.
So the only thing I'm thinking is I was a Ram fan as a kid. I don't want him messing with the helmet. I want a ram horn on the helmet and nothing else. I don't want this new LA logo on the helmet. I don't want the phallic symbol on the helmet. I don't want anything. I want the ram horn on the helmet. If they don't mess with that, I think I can get away with anything else. But these Charger uniforms are an absolute A+.
Yeah, they look good. It's just the Chargers, but yeah, they look good.
Well, I think it's going to help the Chargers that they're in the Rams.
Not to minimize
now.
Them, but
I know it's going to help that they're not in Carson, right? I mean, I think that'll help.
It is, although they aren't going to be. Well, I mean, who knows what it's going to look like? But you know, they didn't sell a lot of personal seat licenses, so we don't know exactly what their crowds are going to be like. All the games were sold out by the opposing teams. And you would assume still a lot of opposing fans will come to SoFi Stadium, but I doubt the Chargers sell out SoFi Stadium, which may not be a good look.
They may not even be playing in SoFi Stadium.
Yeah, that's the thing. They may not even be there.
So what's the latest on that? If the NFL decides that we're having games, but we're not, no fans, where would they play?
We were talking about that before you came on. It's weird. Could they, Ramona, theoretically, play, if fans are no issue, could you play in a high school stadium that had field turf? In other words, the field quality is good.
Right.
But could you set that up for an NFL telecast? Could you get the cameras and the trucks and the announcers and everybody in there? I don't know the answer to that. Well, we're going to, if it gets closer to this and it looks like we're going to have football with no fans, we'll bring on some production types who can answer those questions. But you're going to need to, if you want to keep the bubble small, you're going to need to do it in a place that has, well, I don't think it'll be in California because our governor seems to be one of the last guys to open things up. But, you know, Florida, Texas, Ohio, you might be able to do it if you can incorporate high school stadiums.
Yeah, I'm wondering, you know, I've heard some stuff about, you know, all the different teams and all the different sports and how they, you know, they could go back to it. And one of the things I think that's interesting with baseball is if they were to go to do the bubble, right? One of the things I've heard is that, you know, players would have to kind of stand 6 feet away from each other, right? Like, in other words, they couldn't get real close to each other in the dugout. They'd probably sit in the stands while they're when they would normally be in the dugout.
But wait a minute, Ramona, I don't know if that's true, because think about it. Once you get a Dr. Fauci said the way to do this is you test everybody, you keep them in the same hotels. If you pass the test, you're going to be sliding into second base. Yeah, if you're a catcher, you're going to be right next to the umpire and right next to the hitters. I think that they're going to waive social distancing for those who pass the test. Now, I don't know. In football, you're waiving social distancing just by running a play, you know, by guys grabbing onto each other and banging into each other at the line. There's just so many unanswered questions.
The other thing that's going to help is there's a Stanford study. I mean, you went to Cal, but this is a Stanford study.
Yeah.
where they dealt with herd immunity, and they did antibody tests, and they found out way more people have had it and have the antibodies than we ever thought before, and the mortality rate's actually much, much lower. So if we get a ton of people with not just testing negative, but having the antibodies, having already had it, it's going to make it that much easier to restart sports. So I think that's one of the things. Mm-hmm. Baseball, in fact, Molly Knight wrote a piece for The Athletic where she says baseball is involved in this gigantic antibody test.
Yep.
And 10,000 people associated with the game, from front office to hot dog vendors to players to everybody with every organization, 10,000 people have participated in a gigantic antibody test. And what they're finding, at least from the early results, is that way more people have already had this and just showed no symptoms. So we may get to a point where we do have herd immunity, and we are able to play without such unbelievable vigilance required.
Right, but you know how soon that would be?
What am I, the World Health Organization?
No, but I'm just saying, if you're going
with herd immunity?
Yeah, if that's what you're going to use, if you're going to use herd immunity as your green light to go play, how long do you need between now and then? That would be the key thing. I mean,
I think we're not that close, to be honest. Like the California study you're referencing, John, or Steve, that was, I think they found, you know, a lot more people had it, but it's still only like 4% of the population, 2 to 4% of the population has had it. And for herd immunity, you have to get to like 60%. So, I mean, we're not really close. And that involves opening a lot back up.
But see, I think you're going to have to play, Momo. Tell me. I think you're going to have to play with some risk involved.
I
think there's going to be risk. But here's the issue with that. These guys are healthy. They're young. They are in great shape. They're going to be able to deal with it more likely if they get it. I'm worried about all the other people around the game.
But you got to remember, Mace, 2 weeks ago, you were saying if there's any risk involved, no playing. And I kind of worked you over to, hey, you've got to accept some risk. The problem is that there are still a lot of people who are in your old camp. If there's any risk, don't play. It's just sports. But the problem is sports is a billion-dollar, multi-billion-dollar industry. Any way you can get anybody back to work is a good thing. So I think that you've got to convince more people of what you now believe is that you got to take some risk.
John, I've been working on a lot of these stories right now, right? And I'll tell you, I think the easiest sport to come back is baseball, just because, I mean, it literally is the original socially distanced sport, right? I mean, there's not all that much contact compared to, like, compared to football or hockey or basketball, right?
Sure.
That's a little safer. The biggest issue by far, okay, you have companies come in, they clean everything, they disinfect everything, you can test people all the time, all that. It comes down to whether or not people really stay disciplined in the bubble, okay?
Right.
And it's going to involve some level of sacrifice from players. So what kind of rules are they going to make? Is it going to be like you're at the quarantine hotel and that's it? Or are you going to be able to live with your family and then everybody's going to be on something of an honor system? And then we have an issue of trust, okay? There's going to be a lot of players who say, you know, I trust myself, but I don't trust my teammate. He doesn't even, you know, wash his hands when he goes to the bathroom, right? Okay.
There's, you know, like Michael Jordan was saying, if it's a traveling cocaine circus, that ruins everything. You can't, bring in people from the outside.
Okay. Anybody from the outside. So that's your entourage. That's girlfriends. That's friends.
I think it's easier for the NBA to come back because there are just fewer people. You've got rosters of 15 as opposed to rosters of 25.
So if you're an NBA, and I tend to agree with that sentiment in the sense that they were already close to the end of their season, right? So it's like, it's not like you're asking baseball to say 6 months in the quarantine hotel, right? That's a big ask.
Yeah.
If you're just saying, hey, look, it's going to be 30 days, in training camp, and then another like month or two, maybe 6 weeks of the season, depending on if you go to all the way to the finals. But for most teams, it would just be like, you know, another couple of weeks. That's not that big of an ask. You should be able to deal with being away from your home and your family in a quarantine type bubble for a month, 6 weeks. I mean, that's a big ask, but you could do that. 6 months, though, that is a big ask. I get where Clayton Kershaw's coming from. I get where Mike Trout's coming from.
And Mike Trout already said, if you're just having us sit around in the hotels and do nothing, then I'm not doing it. And, you know, he may change his mind, but they do need to come up with a way they can live, you know.
What are you doing with your days every day?
Well, I'm kind of on a schedule, right? Because I got a little baby.
Yeah, what's your schedule?
And, you know, Nevin takes the early morning shift whenever he wakes up. And then I come in, I take over around 9:30 or so, and I have him until the nap. So about 9:30 to like 1 o'clock. But, you know, I'm telling you, you know what's really fun lately is we've been reading to him for a long time and singing to him for a long time.
Yes.
And we have this book where he's starting to learn how to make the noises of the animals now.
Okay.
And he's starting to recognize the animals. So when we walk around outside, like there's an owl in one of the books, and he'll be like, whoo, 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 like that. He'll point like that. He knows. He's like, there's a recognition between what we're reading about and talking about and singing and like what we're seeing now on our walks. And like,
Romo, here's the dream. Yeah. Maybe he can get into Stanford.
Oh, well, that's definitely going to happen.
He's going to go one better than his mom.
How many, Ramona, roughly, how many animal noises can he do at this point?
He can do the rooster really well. Really good at that. He goes,
rooster,
right?
Owl, and then what else?
He got the owl. He's got the chicken. He goes, walk, walk, walk,
okay,
like that. It's really
that's
good.
Three.
Got a dog.
Dog. All right. So look,
okay. Dog's and he's a got gimme. A horse. Yeah.
All right.
He's got the horse.
Already he's at five. Already he's funnier than Sliwa. All right. So, you know, Daniel is already in line to take over our night show. So there you go.
Now, somewhere along the line, you mentioned on the show, you were working on a story about players and how they're managing to hook up during this.
I was trying to tell you a little bit about the bubble, okay? Like that's the I think this is a giant concern for a lot of players, not just of their, you know, for their own selves, but for their colleagues. Like who do you trust to go 6 weeks in a quarantine hotel without seeing anybody? Okay, that's why it's a big deal if wives and girlfriends are allowed into the bubble. That's
well,
a big
you,
deal.
Know, Ramona, as you know, you can keep the wives on one floor and the girlfriends on the other floor.
Couldn't you test, you could test right the groupies, right?
You could. I mean, that could be part of the quarantine bubble. I mean, these are real discussions that have to be had, okay? And, like, you know, I know that it's, like, silly, and I'm like this old married lady talking about, you know, athletes.
But it wasn't that long ago, Momo. It wasn't that long ago that you were out playing the field.
was a while.
How long has it been?
I mean, I've been with Nevin for a really long time, like basically since college.
Since college, all right.
Yeah,
so, okay. But I mean, there was a time. You know what that's like.
There was a time, yeah,
yeah,
sure.
You know what that's like. It's been a while for John. John, how long has it been?
I met Lisa in 1993.
Yeah, it's been a while for me. It's been 14 years.
Yeah, okay.
But I mean, I remember what it was like, kind of. Vague recollection of
vague,
what that was like.
Vague.
But I've traveled with several sports teams in several different sports since 1993, and Ramona is 100% right.
Yes.
This is a thing, and it is a thing in spring training. It's a thing in the playoffs. It's a thing. So they need to – you're right, Ramona. They need to ask those questions.
And I think that we can't be prudish about it. Like, there is, this is a very real consideration for players involved, okay? Not just for themselves, but for their teammates. And I think, like, any and every discussion has to be, like, had about this, right? I mean, this is, like, you can't just pretend, like, you know, sometimes guys will say, like, I don't want to be away from my family that long.
Right.
Okay. Is that code? Is that, like, a euphemism? Is that what we're...
Think about it. Okay. You use Dr. Fauci's statement that he made earlier on the show. You test everybody. You quarantine them in a hotel. You have them play. At some point during the hotel quarantine, some guy sneaks a girl in the back door. And she never got tested. And she just happened to have the virus. Now, everybody's at risk.
Correct. And I mean, we saw this.
So you've got to talk about it.
Yeah, there's a couple of stories out of England. And let me tell you, the English tabloids are really good. Like, if you don't want to be somebody who gets in trouble in England, because the tabloids always find out about it. Like, and there's a couple of pretty high profile soccer players who got caught having, like,
yeah, I had that as a fast track question. Yeah. He did a public service announcement telling everybody to follow the quarantine rules, and then got caught with two hookers.
I mean, and they always, and the tabloids, like, I think they just got it wired over there in Britain, you know, like, everybody knows where to go get paid for that story. Right.
Yep.
And so I just, it's like to pretend that is not a very real consideration is really off base here. And it's actually, like, one of the main reasons why. Okay, if you're a player right now, you should be advocating, like, everybody gets, like, what, a plus one, plus two in the quarantine bubble, and then those people have to be subject to it, right? Like, subject to the quarantine bubble rules. Like, these are the, like, let's say you, okay, let's say you want to have...
Do all the plus ones get tested then? They have to be, right?
They have to be. Yeah. They have to be. And they have to not just be tested once. They have to be tested all the time. And there has to be, like, temperature checks when you come in and out of the hotel. There has to be. I mean, there's some very real stuff. Like, if Mike Trout brings up his wife is pregnant with the baby, right? And he, you know, well, I'm not going to miss the birth of the baby. Okay. So you leave the quarantine bubble. You go be there for your wife and new child. And then you have to spend 2 weeks in quarantine to see if you show symptoms before you can play again.
Right.
That's probably how it has to work.
Yeah. Crazy.
Well, Momo, listen, we will get you to your swimming pool.
Yeah, and I'm going to work on the jingle for you guys.
Oh, you're working on a jingle for
my
us?
Specialty.
Excellent.
Yeah, look, this is what I do all day long. I, like, any nursery rhyme, anything I can sing, like, you need to be able to extend that song, and I never remember any of the words. So I just, you know, a lot of... I can start one if you just give me what nursery rhyme you want. Like,
okay.
You know, like, what do you want?
Marietta Little Lamb.
Mason, Ireland, too.
Save it. Call our voice.
Call
our voice.
I'm going to work on it.
Don't blow the lead.
It's going to be good.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
I got it.
All right. That's good. And by the way, thanks, Momo. Appreciate it.
You got it, guys. Good to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you. And you can leave a jingle. We're looking for jingles that we can use on the show. And
they don't have to be jingles. You can leave any message you want. But if you've got a jingle, put it on there.
Yeah, if you've got a jingle, that's we want the goofy songs. Also, 877-710-ESPN. We haven't talked to the people, and we're talking through a lot of big issues today. A lot of big issues, like how to have some fun today. That's the big issue.
Yeah.
Top of the hour today.
By the way, Gotham Chopra joins us.
Yeah,
and
that's
Gotham,
right.
I think, has all that footage from the last 2 years of Kobe's career. We'll talk to him about that, and he's got a new project we'll tell you about, too.
Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Okay, let me talk about LegalZoom. Health and safety are on the top of everyone's mind right now. No matter what happens, you want to make sure your loved ones are protected. That's why LegalZoom continues to provide a reliable way for everybody to set up the right estate plan without leaving your house. It starts with finding answers to your questions. Do you need a last will and testament or a living trust? What about an advanced health care directive? What's power of attorney? Thankfully, you don't have to figure everything out on your own. LegalZoom's online resources make it easy to get started. And if you need to speak to an attorney, their independent attorney network is there to guide and advise you. LegalZoom is not a law firm, so you won't have to worry about expensive billable hours adding up. Take that step today. Go to LegalZoom.com. Get started on a last will, living trust, or more. Find out how you can speak to an attorney for advice on the right estate plan. LegalZoom, where life meets legal.